Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. It is now time on this Wednesday night for our first visit of the month with Major Billy Downer from DNR. This is SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on the Sports Talk Media Network. If you have a question, a comment, an observation about something related to the outdoors in South Carolina, not the indoors, if you're a shut-in indoors type person, don't bother us. But if you are an outdoors person in the great outdoors of South Carolina, and you have a question, a comment, or an observation for the major, give us a call at 888-898-2525. I had the pleasure of going over to the major's office today at DNR in downtown Columbia. Major, it's great seeing you. Looking forward to having you back in the studio here with us soon, as you talked about. But I just wanted to say, you got great people around that office. We had a chance to bump into a few people, shake hands, say hello. Every time I go there, it seems like the people, you included, are so happy. I know there are down times and tough times, but it seems like it's a happy crew, folks who love doing what they do around the state of South Carolina.
They do. You're right. It was you got to meet our director, Robert Walls, and I brought Jessica in there, who, of course, her son plays at Virginia Tech, the starter on the offensive line. And just I know she would enjoy talking to you for a moment because y'all know a lot of the same people just in the groups around the Lugoff Elgin area and all, so it's fun, yeah. But we do have a good time in our office. We don't always get along every day. Sometimes we get mad at each other. We're like a family. We never stay mad. We kind of keep moving on, but we do have a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun up there.
Well, it was great to see everybody, especially you. So let's talk about, first of all, I want to talk about the most recent hurricane situation that passed through our state, really became, I guess, more of a tropical storm, heavy rain, which is still something to be dealt with, the flooding in certain parts of the state. And, again, I'm sure your agents were out and about helping out where they could. What was it like from your office standpoint? Were there some real serious issues around the state you guys had to deal with?
Yeah, just so it was a day, it was a typical hurricane preparation for us. It ended up being a great dry run because we really didn't have a lot of damage. However, we still have to go through all of the steps to get ready for it, letting officers know, you know, hey, get your stuff packed up, get ready. We may have something hit. We don't know where we're going to send you. It's kind of what we call a warning order. You send out and say, look, guys, there's a hurricane coming. You've probably been seeing it, but we're putting everybody on standby. We have a plan that lets people know, officers know where they are directed to go. Some of them are assigned to certain groups or what we call conglomerates in an action plan that basically lists out where they go, what intersections, if there's any type of evacuations, and where they stay. I mean, it's a tremendous effort to get people in hotels from department of, now, from our game wardens to, you know, SLED to the Highway Patrol to Triple P. All of our law enforcement partners work together. And we go across the state wherever needed in the preparation for a storm. And then, of course, the aftermath, just making sure you got all your equipment gassed up and things. And yes, we ended up getting probably more rain than anything, a little bit of wind, but we did get some significant rainfall. I mean, Orangeburg County got 13 inches.
Wow.
Manning got like seven, a little over seven, seven and a half maybe. And it just kind of depended on where you were, and that swath is that center of circulation came across where the rain really hit. I know here at the house, I'm between Manning and Sumter, and we probably got about 4.5 inches. Some of Sumter got a lot of 4.5 inches, but that portion of Manning was flooded, and they got about 7 inches. So you get into things like crop damage and other items that have to be, you know, a storm comes by like this, you go, well, it didn't hit us, and you move on. Well, that may be true for the most of us, but some people may be affected, including farmers and folks that are trying to get to the fields. And you get 13 inches of the field in Orangeburg, you're not getting to a field for a while because I don't care how well drained it is, you're not draining 13 inches of water that quickly. So it can cause a mess. I know this past weekend, walking through dove fields with officers checking some dove hunts, I was literally walking through water and fields that smelled like an old still we used to bust up. It was sour mash. I mean, you were walking through sour mash in a few hot weather after that storm. But yeah, I was walking through water, my feet getting wet, with boots, literally over my ankles. Basically walking through the water, when you sink a little bit in the mud. So water's still standing in a lot of places even today. We had a little aftermath from that. Fortunately, no major wind issues that I'm aware of, a little bit here and there. But when you get a lot of rain like that, sometimes trees will fall also just because it loosens up the ground and the root mass. But we were very fortunate. I understand the tropics are firing up again, so there's a couple more options out there for us that we're going to have to keep an eye on in the coming weeks and days as well. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. Yeah, but our EMD did get the Emergency Management Division did get fired up. We went there. We had folks there as well and watching the storm, preparing to send people if necessary. And again, very fortunate it did not become something that a hurricane or even a tropical storm really in our area. We had some winds, 30 mile an hour, 39. Some gusts went up the tropical storm force, so that does cause a little concern. But it did have an effect on our hunting season. I can tell you the dove season, for those listening that may have gone dove hunting and you may have left the field going, what happened to the doves? A lot of areas in the state really were affected by that heavy rain. Just the system moving through in general, birds will move out in front of it. And we saw that in the local areas here. Sumter, Clarendon, Florence, Lee, Williamsburg, you saw that. A lot of those counties are affected by that rain. That swath moved through, birds just left, and they weren't there. You may have had several hundred birds, 1,000 birds, and all of a sudden you got a few left. So that happens every year if you get a bad rainstorm. It did affect some dove hunts for sure. I know of one hunt in particular. I know a gentleman has had a hunt for probably 40 years, and they canceled their hunt. First time in 40 years. So the storm has an effect on our hunting as far as our hunting recreational activities. So, and it did. And public dove fields, for the most part, were very slow. We have a lot of opportunity for folks. I know folks be interested. Last year I talked about the Love WMA. People obviously heard about it because last year there was about 70 to 90, I think 90 people showed up on the field the first day. Saturday, 195 people showed up. And hunted doves there. I think a little over 270 doves killed, something like that. So it wasn't really a good day for dove hunting with the numbers, but again, a lot of people took advantage of it, so it's good to see that. But again, we hope to see birds pick back up, maybe move back in as this we get a little dry weather here for a little bit. But again, weather patterns absolutely affect birds, and dove season is a little slow in a lot of places.
All right, Major, I'm sorry. Major, if you would, hang on just a second because this is unusual for us, but we're going to take a quick break that we need to make up from our last half hour, if you don't mind. So I'll give you a chance to catch your breath.
No problem.
When we come back, we'll dive a little bit more deeply into the deer season, which is off and running in South Carolina, and also pick up on some of the other things happening outdoors in the next few months here in South Carolina, and remind folks too about they can stay legal with things during deer season and other hunt seasons here in the fall. Be right back. Back we are, Sports Talk, here on the Sports Talk Media Network. It is SC Wild with Major Billy Downer, part of Sports Talk every other Wednesday night here in the state of South Carolina. Welcome back in, Major Downer. By the way, if you have a question or comment for the Major, 888-898-2525 is how you can get your comments to him, and we'll put you right in touch with the head man from over at DNR. I shouldn't say the head man, one of the head men over there at DNR. One day we expect you to be the head honch, but I don't want to promote you over anybody just yet. What about
not
deer?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, let's be patient.
Before we do deer season, Phil, let's really focus on your favorite animal, or one of your favorites, because that season begins in just 3 days.
Alligator.
So alligator season begins at 12 o'clock noon, high noon, on September the 9th, and will run through high noon on October the 14th. So, this Saturday, second Saturday in September becomes the opening day at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It becomes alligator season for those that have put in for our lottery and got drawn. You may, you know, go alligator hunting at that time. Again, we start during the middle of the day to kind of promote safety so folks aren't going out there in the middle of the night, trying to get out there early. This is, as we have said many times on the show, this is how we can help control our alligator population. For those, you know, that don't like seeing alligators, they are a natural part of our environment, but we have this season to help us control their numbers, so to speak, on public water and public lands. Again, private lands, a whole nother deal. We have permits available year-round for those to remove those animals. But on public land, we have this season in the state's divided into basically upper coastal, lower coastal, and the Midlands as far as where you can hunt. And you choose your zone, and if you get drawn, that's where you go hunting. So a lot of people will be out this weekend trying to get them a pair of alligator boots probably, alligator wallet.
Let me ask you.
We haven't eaten alligator in a long time. I need to do that again.
Yeah.
I keep saying that. But we need to cook
all
that
right.
again.
Two questions for you about the gators. So is there a particular river in South Carolina where the hunters like to, organize and meet? And you know, that's where they're going to find a great selection, I guess you could say, number one. Number two, is there a
selection by yourself? Yeah.
And number two, I'm trying to come up with the right words. Number two, is there a particular place? I mean, I don't know, you can promote a business if you want to. Is there a particular place in the state that does, a better job, best job of taking care of the gators after you've killed them doing whatever you want to do? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, number one, yeah, everybody's got their favorite area, lower coastal, upper coastal, Midlands. Lake Marion is probably one of the better areas as far as or more popular areas for people to go after gators because you've got the Santee River system you've got the lower drainage of the lakes, and folks seem to do really well there as far as if they're looking for, you know, everybody starts off looking for a 12-foot gator. They're looking for a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have no luck, don't do very well, at the end they're looking for an 8 or bigger. They're looking for, pretty much anything that really would be decent size to get some meat off of. Again, it's really your choice. I would say some of the biggest gators have been killed in the canal that I remember in recent years, the canal there, Lower Lake. And that is where on Lake Moultrie, between Lake Moultrie area, that is where a lot of big gators have been taken that I can remember in recent years. The question about where do you take a gator is an excellent question because just every processor, like a deer processor, doesn't take alligators.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be set up for it. They got to be there, have people are knowledgeable enough to help clean. A lot of people go out and shoot gators. This is their one-time shot. They're not experts at it. They don't have skin on them. They don't know how to do anything. They take the gators, they know how to – they learn how to take the gator, pull the gator to the boat. They've got a pistol or the bang stick, according to law, and they'll dispatch the gator quietly there. But after that, I really don't know what to do. Two main places that I can think of, Cordray's, I think, in the Charleston area, and then 301 deer processing up in the Florence area are really popular for alligator cleaning that I know of.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the you said processing. I couldn't come up with the right word, but you processing is the proper word, like you do with the deer, right?
Right, and both of those are also connected with taxidermy, so they can help you get the animal taxidermied if you want to, get the skin of a hide tanned, or you're wanting to get a mount or something. They can help with all of that. So, but that is a great question, and a lot of people don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And 301 deer process is probably one of the bigger ones. I think Cordray's does it as well, pretty big one. There may be one or two more. I just don't remember their names. Those are two big ones.
Okay.
That come to mind.
We
but
have,
again, this Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Okay. We have a caller for you down in Augusta who wants to throw a question at you, Major. So stand by. Let's go to Steve in Augusta. Steve, welcome in. You are on SC Wild with Major Billy Downer.
Thank you, guys. Really enjoying this segment. Look forward to it every other Wednesday. So thank you again. Please keep it going.
Yes, sir.
But, Major, I did want to ask you a quick question. I know you got your typical pigeons, and then you got your dove, which wing pattern and everything looked like a smaller version. But I have been noticing a bird, not in high frequency, but I've been noticing a bird that looks like a combination between the two. It still looks like an oversized dove or an undersized pigeon. Are you familiar with what that is?
Absolutely. That's the Eurasian collared dove. A good point. Good to bring up. It is exactly what you're describing. It's bigger than a dove. It's like a dove on steroids, but it's not as big as a pigeon. They're kind of light fawn color, like a dove, a gray colored, a little bit lighter than a dove. They do fly a little bit differently like a pigeon. But if you look at behind the ear on the dove, on the neck, there's a collar. It goes halfway around that neck, a black collar. And it's called a Eurasian collar dove. They are exotics, but they do live here in this state, and they actually are not good for our dove population. They will, because they're bigger in the animal kingdom, they will out-compete doves for nesting space. They can. There's not enough of them to do that. You typically see those around chicken houses, around feed mills, or around grain silos. You'll see Eurasian collar doves. We have them around the house here, same thing in those areas where you typically see them. And if there's dove fields close to those type facilities, you'll see Eurasian collar doves. I can remember 15 years ago walking a dove field, first time I'd ever seen one, and guys, they were shooting 5 and 6 and 7. They're like, how many can we shoot? I had to look it up. I didn't know. There's no limit. The Eurasian collar dove is a bonus. There's no limit on them. Because they are exotic, we don't want to protect them, so no bonus, no limit, so it's kind of a bonus. They don't count in your limit of doves. So that is the Eurasian collar dove. That's exactly what you're describing.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate it. I was just curious about it, but anyway, thank you, and as always, you had the answer.
Yep. Thank you very much. Sir. I tell you what, Major, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, nothing gets by you, but that right there, that caller, I mean, he's so smart, and I'm just thinking about, you know, people who love the outdoors in South Carolina who fish and hunt and whatever. They know the animals that they're dealing with, right? I mean, this gentleman knew all about this bird. He just couldn't identify it, but, I mean, he had it described down to a T.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. And typically most, you know, to go back in history, I'm a history buff. You love to look at that. Conservation as a practice began because of hunters like Teddy Roosevelt, who said, hey, we want to protect this for the future. They saw overhunting. They saw things that they had taken part in, no doubt, that were wrong. And as far as they saw the depletion of game animals, and so they took an interest and began conservation practices. They started Ducks Unlimited. They started these, wildlife conservation groups that still exist today. And that was formed by hunters. So, yes, outdoorsmen, outdoors women, they all, hunters and fishermen alike, know what they're after. They know the game they seek or the fish they're after, probably better than most people, because they know they got to know. You got to learn the animal. Got to know where it goes. Where does it hang out? Where does it eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's around it. And those are just that's part of hunting experience to me.
Yeah,
it's just the knowledge that you gain from it.
Yep.
Major, in about 90 seconds, just with alligator season opening up, could you maybe quickly explain the capturing methods and dispatch methods, and about whether you have to legally catch the alligator first before you get rid of it?
Yeah, sure. So I didn't cover that. We usually take a segment to do that, but. Yeah, so the alligators, again, you've got to put in July is when the draw happens. You have to put, like, you know, you paid for the draw, $10 to get the draw. You'll gain points if you're not drawn. If you're drawn, you'll pay $100 for your tag, and you have to select the zone that which you were going to hunt when you put in. And when you select that zone, you can only hunt in that zone you were selected for, whether upper coastal, lower coastal, or the Midlands. Now, the capture method or take method, let's start with take method for alligators, must be hook and line, which is like a rod and reel. You try to throw a treble hook across the gator, hook it in the scoots on the back, pull hard, and let the gator wear down until you can drag him to the side of the boat. Then you can take him with a pistol, handheld pistol, or a bang stick, which is a controlled round, take stick, pop it in the back of the head.
It's not like alligator hunters. You don't get out there with a rifle and just start shooting. You can also use, besides hook and line to take gator, you can use a bow and arrow. There's a lot of fishing arrows out there that are designed for this, and people use those. Same thing. You're basically sticking in that gator and basically holding on for a while. Let him tire out, get into the side of the boat where you control it, and quickly dispatch the gator. So you can't just go out and shoot out there across with a rifle. You've got to use hook and line or a bow and arrow.
Major, great stuff. Fantastic. Look forward to being back with you in a couple of weeks. You'll have some guests. Hopefully, pretty soon you'll be back in the studio with us.
PSA Armory with us next week.
That'll be great. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, Major. Thank you, sir. Major Billy Downer from DNR, SC Wild here on Sports Talk. That'll do it. Thank you for being with us. You know what tomorrow is. It's a big Thursday here on Sports Talk. Thank you, Pat, and we'll see you tomorrow.